This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
This is The Conversation.
Ideas worth spreading and stories worth telling.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Commonly known amongst his clientele as the Happy Doctor, Dr. Suresh Dandani has both an MBA and PhD in metaphysical counselling. I'm finding out what that is shortly. And is the author of 4 books. Based in Singapore, he's in Dubai. Welcome, Doctor. Can I call you Doctor? What do you like to go by?
Just call me Suresh.
All right, Suresh. Let's get casual. So welcome to Dubai.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us. And I'm hoping to leave the next hour feeling well and truly motivated, which is what people do after coming to see you or watching your TEDx talks. Now, before we discuss what you do now, I'd love to hear your origin story. What did you study to be? What was the plan when you were younger?
The original story was to become a billionaire.
Of course.
Yeah, we all have.
Let's do it.
And my father made sure that I was going to become a billionaire.
You were his pension plan.
Definitely. So, more like a clone.
Oh, really? Yeah. So, ambitious family.
Definitely.
And where did that lead you to?
Burnout, depression, misery. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy pathway.
So, what was the job that got you in that place?
The truth is, my father made sure I was doing exactly what he was doing, and I copied that. And the model was simple. Manufacture goods are cheap and sell them expensive in Europe. And the profits were like 500 to 1,000% in the times when I started. So greedy man gets even greedier.
So you were following someone else's plan?
Definitely, and big plan too.
Now, after 4 o'clock, we're talking about the impact of absent workaholic fathers on families. What was your experience of that, if any?
See, definitely what happens is when your passion is all about making more money, the whole idea is why not work longer hours and get more money? And then buy all the things that we don't need in life, you know, and then even for family, what is it? You keep dumping things to them and expecting buying happiness, love and all that through money. And it is already a proven fact that money can't buy you happiness or love.
I think, though, so for some fathers, though, working long hours is a necessity, and that might be for supporting family back in their home countries or supporting families here. And some feel trapped by that, which is a horrible place to be in. What was your personal kind of aha moment?
For me, what happened is finally I felt I've had enough of my life. I know I've lived my life to the fullest. I made all the money I wanted. I got married. I had a son. So what do I need more after this? And eventually I told my family, you know, I think it's about time I need to leave this body of mine because I no longer can live it that way. So in that sense, but good thing is my son realized and told me, I think, Baba, you need to turn and find a new pathway because the one you are living is definitely not helping you.
Must have been interesting getting some life advice from your son.
And that also a five-year-old son.
Five-year-old son?
Yeah, at that time when he was five. And, you know, I don't know what spiritual idea came through his mind that my father needs help. And it came. And the best thing is the night before I asked, you know, whatever, can you help me? The next morning, my son comes to me.
So can I ask you now, you specialize in leadership and personal growth and organization transformation. What does that mean?
See, in most cases, today's leaders are not listening to their team people, you know, and I believe leaders are there to listen and suggest and guide, but not do all the work and say everything, you know, because what's the point of employing people if you are going to do all the things and then take credit on even somebody else's account? So I believe in the invisible leadership. Whereas leader is just there as a shadow and only there when he needs to be there. He doesn't have to always interact in every little idea or thought.
But you must have to undo an awful lot of corporate thinking and often cultural thinking as well. Mm-hmm. Must be like turning around an oil tanker in some organizations.
I definitely need to work with more empowered leaders because a lot of leaders are very self-inflicted, self-inclined. So their egos are just too high and they feel because they've been successful the last 10 years that they'll be successful the next 10 years.
And that they're right.
And you have seen many very, very long established leaders failing because ideas need to change. You have to get new concepts. And as we grow older, you know, sometimes our ego bothers us and forces us to do things that don't even make sense.
Or stop you being open-minded or agile, which is, you know, what you need to be in, especially in the current market. Mm-hmm. Now, I said earlier you've got an MBA and a PhD in metaphysical counselling. What is metaphysical counselling?
Metaphysical counselling is more of seeing science through the spiritual eye. So whereas you don't base everything on science, but you even expand your horizon that there are things that really we don't have in control, like the law of attraction and all the laws like of effect and cause, you know, which most people know as karma. Mm-hmm. So learning and improving yourself and uplifting your skills and seeing not through only your own selfish needs, but through the eyes of everybody else.
Now, you went from burnout to turnaround. How does one become a motivational speaker?
When you have fixed yourself, eventually, it was going to be nice to help others. And that's how it's become, you know. So from this burned out personality who was depressed, miserable, even being a millionaire, now here I am and motivating people to look beyond money and look beyond their limited self.
And you mentioned your personality there as well. Do you feel like you just had a natural personality that would do well as a motivational speaker, or is it something you've had to learn? Was it a skill that you had to learn to stand up and to inspire people?
Yeah, definitely. It's a transformational process. I've evolved to become who I've become, and I don't think I was ever meant to do this unless I would have gone through this journey on my own. So I think everybody could go through this process, but as long as they acknowledge that they have problems and faults and, you know, learn the skills and become one. And I think we all are motivational speakers or motivators. Like, look at how we talk to our family members. Isn't it required, like if you talk to your children or your adult spouses or whatever, that you need to make sure you prove your point so you are motivating?
I think that's a very interesting point, that the way we talk to other people can be really positive and encouraging, but the way we talk to ourselves can be very negative. Mm-hmm. How can we turn around that kind of self-talk that isn't achieving anything?
The main problem in today's life set is we put all these limitations and restrictions on ourselves. So to enhance our self-esteem, we had to let go of all the negative baggage which we have collected, not only from ourselves, but the environment. Sometimes we have friends or family members who are not supportive, and then they push you down.
Or teachers that have, you know, made a comment that you then carry with you through your life.
Through your life. And we have to acknowledge that we have a problem and try to fix it and recognize that, hey, this is limiting me.
You developed something called the GATE method. What does it mean?
The GATE method took me many, many years to come to conclusion and understand. It's like a research after research. So it's based on four values, which I believe cause or help in unconditional happiness, like becoming. So the first one is gratitude. Now, how many of us are real thankful that we wake up every morning and have a great concept that I'm going to do some great things in the morning?
Very few, because we're caught up in just getting it done. Now,
first thing, you would probably look at your Instagram or Facebook, how many likes did I get and how many other people are doing what the great things they're doing. And the second one is acceptance. Self-acceptance and accepting others that are around us, our family members. How many of us accept our children for being who they are, or even our spouses? You know, maybe there are things that we don't like about our spouses, but yet, you know, we keep pushing these limitation restrictions on them. So accepting them for who they are, and that reflects back to you, because at the end, what you seek is what you need to do yourself first. Mm-hmm. And the third one is truth. How many of us are really talking the truth? Because if you keep lying, what happens is you live in fear. So the whole idea is talking the truth allows uplift of a mindset that we start believing everything we say is going to really take place. So the truth really helps. And the last one is called empathy. So empathetic mindset is what all senior leaders are now studying and looking into, because if we can't put ourselves in the shoes of people, how do we feel their pain? Mm-hmm. And how can we actually help and guide them?
And I would say that's not just the case in leadership. That can be very much the case in parenting and in the home as well, and really trying to validate people around you.
Yeah, and we can even help world causes, because look at how many people are suffering in the world. Mm-hmm. And it's not only where we live, but it's throughout the world. And if we had more people who were empathetic, who really felt the pain, we could do so many great things.
This is The Conversation.
Ideas worth spreading and stories worth telling.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Joining us in the studio is the happy doctor. Dr. Suresh Dhawan is a global keynote speaker. He's a 3-time TEDx speaker, researcher, best-selling author, and he's done workshops and retreats globally, including addressing Fortune 100 business, luxury cruises, education institutes, non-profits, hospitals, shelters, and more. Love to get your thoughts on some of the messages coming in, Suresh. My message is saying, happiness is when the right things come at the right time. And opinion here saying unconditional happiness doesn't happen. Happiness is a state, and in all our daily lives, our state is always changing. I do agree that gratefulness is a bridge that can walk us towards ease and peace. I love that. And Ruben saying, leader and leadership has become too much of a pop industry. Not sure what or how definitive it is in terms of rationality. What do you think? I think that's right. You know, we hear there's a lot around leadership, and I don't know, I'm not a natural leader. It makes me quite uncomfortable. But do you feel most people are striving to be leaders in their lives?
I could say at least 70% out there are, because they feel that will help them increase their income and somehow boost their ego. Because somehow we human race love boosting our ego, and wouldn't it be nice that you could push around a certain number of people under you?
And as you say, the money. So you know, do some people very much tie their happiness to their salary?
Absolutely. And from my own experience, it did not work. I'm not sure how many of you are really willing to run that rat race and figure that out eventually. It took me 33 years to figure out money can't buy you happiness.
Now, your TEDx talk was about how losing money made you happy. Can you tell us a bit more?
My TEDx talk is based on my own life story. So what happened is eventually after making all these millions and figuring out that things are not the way I expected them to turn out, because I felt the way my father was living his life, making a lot of money, would buy me that happiness that I seeked. But eventually that money led me into a burnout and then caused me into depression. And then eventually when I went on my pathway to find myself, and then I started earning money and started giving back to society, helping causes, somehow I felt uplift, like I felt fulfillment. And somehow contribution made me who I became. So I feel that's what helped.
So it wasn't necessarily losing money as in, you know, a business going wrong, for example, or, you know, whatever other reason, like investments that have failed. It was actually just through the act of charity, the act of giving.
I believe you must have a falling moment before you actually start looking for something else in life. Because if we don't fall, we don't learn. And if we don't learn, then we fall again. So this is something that after falling multiple times that I figure out, my life was not about making money, but was more like making other happy. And their happiness has helped me make me more happy. And somehow that also ended up giving money to people in some ways.
What's your mission as a motivator then, Suresh?
I would love to see many more people understand that you must find happiness within your misery. Because that is what is unconditional happiness. We look for happiness in the wrong
places. Happiness within your misery.
So is it a case of actually searching for happiness, though? Because there's a lot, I mean, we've discussed it on the show before, certainly with some of the psychologists who we have on as well. There's a lot of train of thought out there to say that one should not seek happiness. It shouldn't be your life goal. It should be more about meaningfulness.
Correct.
Is the kind of, you know, the word that comes up. What do you encourage people to do?
First thing I'll encourage people, don't make happiness a pursuit. It's not about that, you know, because, you know, so many movies and all this have been based on that basis, but it's not a pursuit. Like one of your earlier audience said, it's a mindset. It's living it and believing in it. So it's not a pursuit. You can be happy in any form, in any condition. I've seen handicapped people. I've seen poor people being happy. So it's not that you have to be perfect to be happy. It's just having that right mindset that allows us to be happy.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but it can be easier said than done. And there'll be a lot of people out there who will be struggling at the moment, struggling financially, especially kind of you consider the global markets at the moment. So how do you turn those words into the actual actions?
See, like what I spoke about earlier about being grateful, that those four steps, like grateful, acceptance, truth, and empathy, I don't think we can be happy all the time. That's not possible. But at least coming to the sense that I'm better off than many others, that helps. Because, you know, you might be having already a nice home, a car, a good job, but yet you feel I'm not fulfilled because you have everything, but you want more. So even those people who don't have, but at least if they have the hope, the faith that they can actually improve their lives, they will eventually, because it's all a matter of time. Because whoever has gotten what they have gotten has taken time, effort, skills to improve to get that. So don't ask for happiness an easy thing. We also have to work on our happiness.
This is The Conversation.
Ideas worth spreading and stories worth telling.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Dr. Suresh, we've had lots of questions and comments coming in. And I have to say, it's all pretty heartwarming stuff. Danny, we've had focus on what you have and be grateful rather than putting energy into what you don't have. We have more to be thankful for than we know. Thank you, Susie, for that.
Yes, and Ruben as well. I love this one from Ruben texting saying, since Aristotle's days, thinkers and motivational speakers have attempted to explain the idea of happiness to me. If you're able to sleep peacefully, guilt-free, you are a chosen candidate to wear the crown of happiness. One's conscience will tell the truth in your face if you deserve happiness.
Nodding along there, Dr. Suresh. Can I ask you, Danny, what makes you happy?
Well, obviously, first and foremost, you know, my little boy and my wife, and having special time with them, and it's a daily to do. It's the top of my to do list every single day. Is, and I can show you on my phone as well that I've got, is to have quality time with them as well. And there might be days, you know, for example, today, where I'm not going to have all that much time with Jack. You know, I had maybe an hour with him this morning before having to take him to nursery and get into the office. By the time I get back, he'll be going to bed about, you know, I might have an hour with him, depending on what time I get home. So it's about making the most of that. Mm-hmm. And that is, to me, is happiness as well, and kind of going back and having those memories. And of course, you said I couldn't say it, but I've got to say it, when Liverpool win, which fortunately happens quite a lot these days, thanks to our Meister, Jurgen Klopp. But yeah, how about yourself? What makes you happy?
Absolutely the same, apart from Liverpool. The good health and happiness of friends and family. And going back to Ruben's point about kind of feeling peaceful and being kind of living a true life and enjoying what I do and not going to bed going full of, you know, being full of regrets. Can I ask you, Dr. Rush, what makes you happy?
What makes me happy is that I'm finally living a life that is full of purpose, and it's there to help others and uplift them as well, because it's uplifting me every time I am able to help them. And also, definitely, like what both of you said, family does matter. And it's not the quantity, but the quality that matters, because a lot of us maybe spend 5 hours with our family, but what happens is all of us are on phones or whatever. Wouldn't it be better that we spend 30 minutes together where we are off social media and we actually are connecting and talking about what went through the day, or feelings and emotions, because nobody talks. And the greatest skill lack in today's world is listening. Nobody wants to listen. Everybody wants to talk.
And is that as much as anything, listening to yourself? I mean, obviously, I mean, Helen, you just mentioned that there, you know, for you, doctor, it's part of your gait, that word gratitude. And that's one that stands out most to me as well. Even like, for example, last night, you know, really long day, lots of stuff to do, even when I got home and that. And I just had a moment where I actually kind of went back and looked at photos from Christmas Day last year and watched a video of Jack coming around, seeing his presents. And it just kind of, it sent me to bed in a kind of, with a smile on my face, a kind of feeling of peacefulness and having that moment. But I think a lot of the problems we have these days is we mention it all the time. We're so connected all the time, mm-hmm. you know, whether we're waiting for the Dubai Metro, you know, the tram, and we're on our phones, whether we're waiting for our coffee in the coffee shop and we're just stood there connected all the time. Not having those moments to step back, is that one of the most important things, in a sense, to have that downtime? And
yeah, we need time to reflect. Because what happens is every time you're connected, you're worrying about somebody else's, and those emotions come to you. So somebody's crying, sad, happy, miserable, whatever is going on through somebody else's life is affecting you, because somehow that reflects back to you. So would it be nice just to enjoy the moment and appreciate what's going on around you?
Mm-hmm. We're distracting ourselves.
Yeah,
all
like
the time.
How much time do you spend eating your food and appreciating? Do you really remember that flavors and tastes from what you ate last night? Most people don't remember it. And you might have spent like a few $100 for a meal, but the moment you ate and you forgot. So take the moment, take and appreciate every little second.
Message from Isa in the booth saying the power of now. It's absolutely right about being mindful in all ways when we remember to do it, which is often easier said than done. Let's see if we can help out some people today. Em has been in touch saying, I haven't worked in 12 years and I'm genuinely embarrassed to admit that. My daughter's nearly in high school, so I don't have any other excuse apart from a few mental health problems and my absolutely frazzled self-confidence. I honestly don't know where my talents lie. If anywhere, I've lost all sense I've lost all self-belief. I'm married, my husband earns good money, so I don't need to work, but I need to find some motivation and some real longing to discover myself. I don't want to feel like a massive failure. This makes me so sad. I actually want to be proud of myself and be a real model for my daughter and contribute financially for a change. Problem is, I'm so far out of the loop, I don't know where to start. Please help.
Truth is, I would suggest her to start doing some volunteer work first and getting into the sink, because getting full-time work might not be meant for her right mm-hmm. away. And then seeing that she's appreciated that way, and then seeking maybe part-time work. Building up, because she 12 years ago, what she wanted in life might be very different than mm-hmm. what she wants now. She feels lost, but she's not lost. She has to build up her self-esteem and take support from her family. I'm sure they will be there when she goes and sells, I want to do something more than what I'm doing as a housewife right now.
I think that is really good advice, because volunteering, obviously you're getting a sense of belonging from being around people and feeling needed by whoever, you know, whatever charity or organisation you're volunteering for. And you might find something within that that really chimes with you, and it might be through people, it could be animals, it could be organisation, it could be any aspect of that
volunteering.
There's
so many people in need today, and she could go any place which she feels she would like a connection with. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody who needs somebody to talk to even, and this will help her as well deal with her issues.
Message come in here from Prabhakar saying, happiness is inbuilt in all. It's just the medium which activates it. A nice flower or nice weather, different mediums, but making the same person happy. So introspection of this gift is the most important. A message here, no name on this one, saying, how do you know if you're demotivated or depressed? I'm not sleeping well, really struggling to be motivated to do anything but sit on the sofa. Desperately need to lose weight. Hate myself for not being able to stick to a diet or exercise plan, which makes me depressed. But is it actual depression? I feel like I'm going around in circles.
Honest truth is she's definitely burned out, but you can't work on everything at the same time. Mm-hmm. So if she wants to work on her weight, let's work on that first. And then if she wants to work on her mind, but overall, she needs to work on her mindset, because without making herself strong enough to deal with her issues like weight and other things, she's going to have a tough time, because you can't work on your physical body if your mind's not strong enough, because she'll end up eating again more
and,
or whatever.
And, you know, I actually edited this, the list that this message went on and on. Mm-hmm. And that can feel like a completely insurmountable task. If you feel like you've got problems in all areas of your life, of course mm-hmm. you're going to be demotivated. But if you are concerned you do have depression, then absolutely go to the doctor and speak to someone about it and reach out for someone to talk to.
Yeah, get some counselling done.
This is The Conversation.
Ideas worth spreading and stories worth telling.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Great to be joined in the studio this afternoon by the happy doctor. Dr. Suresh Devnani is the global keynote speaker. He's done 3 TEDx talks. He's all about future of workplace, well-being, resilience, and of course, happiness. Rob, our favourite grumpy old man, says, what makes me happy? Holding my wife's hand. But we are still in the first flush of love. We've been together since 1978, only grumpy when they're apart. And a great message here saying, we can simply talk about how to be happy, but this needs to be a great discipline to spend time with yourself, getting to know yourself through meditation, the right diet, right body posture, learning to feel pain, and learn to simply live our life. This needs to unlearn so many of what has been programmed for us to do and to be. Nodding along there, Doctor. Very wise words. Interesting mentioning meditation there. I did try this morning to meditate and fell asleep. I'd love to get your tips on great ways to start the day to get us in the right mindset and to finish the day too. Maybe if it's been not such a good day, how can we turn around our mindsets?
My usual routine is to wake up between 5:30 in the morning. I start with some kind of a mantra which calms me down. And then the main thing is posture. We must make sure our backs are straight and avoid meditating near a bed.
that's
a problem for
wrong.
Many more. Yeah, because what happens is you should get a chair which will straighten your back, because a lot of people are unable to cross a leg, sit, you know. So I also have that issue. So I just make sure my posture is straight up. And then, you know, best thing is to get a mantra and chant. But for those who are restless, even some kind of soothing music might help, or maybe focusing on certain picture or light or water, just any kind that really calms you down. And I don't believe there's any perfect meditation. Even though, let's say you have thoughts coming through your mind, it's okay to sit through that, because it allows you to think deeper for all the issues that you might have to deal with in that day. Somehow get intuition towards your problem. So that's also good. And for those in the afternoon, I believe in the afternoon nap.
Listening to my show.
Yeah. No, I don't think afternoon nap has to be that late. I think right after lunch, just take a 30-minute. Even greatest leaders like Napoleon, many, many great ones, which I can't mention right now, sleep a half an hour, not longer than half an hour, just to recharge. And that really calms us down, so we can, you know, flow through the day very easily after that. And then the best time is make sure have an early dinner, like between 6:30 in the evening, and then have some mint tea or something, and then come and just go and lie down. Because if you're going to stress by watching news and all that in the evening, so guess what? That news will carry forward until the morning.
Doctor, thank you so much for coming in, sharing your insights and advice.
People can find out more through my social media. I'll make sure I mention it on my Facebook and also LinkedIn, and for those who are on Instagram.
And it's all Suresh Devnani for people looking to find out more.
Correct. Thank you.
Thank you so, so much. I'm feeling at peace. So that's your job. You've done your job for the last hour.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.